8:30, I'd like to do a conference, roll call quickly. This is Commissioner Larry Carpenter.
Commissioner Smith.
Commissioner Wecker.
Commissioner Caney, just joined.
Commissioner Mankin.
Commissioner Grayville.
And did I hear Commissioner Kehoe on here as well?
Commissioner Kehoe, just waiting for...
Good morning, Bob. Okay, it is now 8:30. We'll call the meeting to order of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission for August 21st, 2015. First item on our sheet here is item A, petition to change rules. This is a decision. I assume we're going to have some staff guidance here.
Commissioner Carpenter, this is Deputy Director Storr. I'm at the Natural Resource Building, and I'm sitting here with Bill Freimeyer, Donnie Martorello, Nate Pamplin, Scott Becker, Owen Rowe, Ann Larson, and Craig Bartlett.
Good morning to all of you. Thank you, Director Storr. Take it away.
So we'll have Donnie Martorello start off with the presentation on the petition.
Very good.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. This is Donnie Martorello. Kind of sitting in here and helping on the cougar issue. So I'm assuming folks are up to speed on the issue, and you have the green sheet. I'm not going to go over that word for word or anything. I'd like to start by kind of zooming out a little bit and kind of setting the perspective in terms of public process that led up to this. And so you'll recall that the revisions to our game management plan and the public process associated with that. Along with that, and at the same time, the development of the three-year hunting season package that started this last January with the filing of the 101. Of course, through that process, public meetings, et cetera, and then the commission meetings in March and April. And then after the commission adoption of this particular rule in April, there was a request for a follow-up conference call by the commission on May 1st to discuss this issue. We held off on filing and completing the season setting process of filing the 103 until after that May 1st conference call. During that call, we also had a motion request by the commission for us to bring back to the commission in March, April of 2016 a recommendation, a proposed rule for the 2016 and 2017 cougar hunting seasons. What the commission adopted this last April was a part of the three-year package, so three consecutive cougar seasons. Hearing the public input and the discussion by the commission on the conference call, we are coming back to you at your request this next March and April for the last 2 years of that three-year hunting season package in 2017. So that kind of brings us up to speed in terms of all the public process behind us. You now have in front of you a petition that we received on June 30th from the Humane Society of the United States, Conservation Northwest, Center for Biological Diversity, Mountain Lion Foundation, Wolf Haven International, the Cougar Fund, the Lands Council, Predator Defense, Kettle Range Conservation Group, and Gary Kohler. The petition essentially requests the commission vacate their decision to increase the harvest guideline for cougar in 14 hunt areas of the state that is now set at 17% to 21% of the cougar population that was changed from a 12 to 16 to a 17 to 21. So the petitioners had four main arguments for that request to vacate that decision. One was the lack of public involvement and opportunity to discuss the proposed amendment. The second one was that 17 to 21% harvest guideline deviates from the best available science. The third one is that the proposed rule is substantially different from the amendment is substantially different from the proposed rule. And the fourth one is that the increased harvest at the 17 to 21% may disrupt the social structure of cougars and result in increased human-cougar conflict or in cougar-livestock conflict. So I just wanted to quickly walk through each of those four items, their arguments based on their petition. I'm going to tackle two of them here at once. The argument that the lack of public involvement in the lack of public involvement and opportunity for input, and the proposed rule amendment was substantially different than the proposed rule. Just wanted to, in your green sheet you see there, and during the May 1 call, the commission had a discussion about the public process and adherence to the Administrative Procedures Act, and felt that that the commission did comply with that, and did have that public process, which I talked about at the beginning of the call. And we can circle back to that one if you'd like to. The next one that deviates from the best available science on cougar management, the department's recommendations in March and April were based on a couple objectives, one being long-term sustainable cougar populations with adequate adult males for social stability and to provide recreation opportunities. The way that we have presented this is that the 12 to 16% harvest rate, we believe, is the best range to achieve that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that a different harvest rate still can't achieve that same goal. It just may have a lower probability of achieving that goal. The next one was that the increased harvest will likely lead to increased human-cougar and human-livestock interactions due to the loss of adult males on the landscape and an influx of sub-adults into the area. We've talked about this on our last conference call. The quick summary of that, it's in more information is available in your green sheet. But to date, there is no demonstrator or empirical evidence to suggest that there's a cause and effect relationship that when you increase harvest, that it results in an increased interactions between livestock. There is a publication that's out there that you can see in the green sheet that goes one step farther than that and talks about an association between increased harvest levels and increased complaint levels. But again, no empirical evidence or no scientific evidence demonstrating that's a cause and effect relationship. The last part I wanted to go over was the attachments that you have in your green sheet, the table. We also talked about this on our last conference call. So I'm just going to hit the highlights on it. The first one on the table, if you look at the top of the table, I just want to make sure that everybody is aware that there is some natural fluctuations in cougar harvest. If you look at cougar harvest over the 3 years there at the top of the table, you'll see that cougar harvest fluctuates by about a margin of 20-some animals from a 159 in 1 year to a high of 182 the next year. And so we actually see a level of variability in cougar harvest that's just not based on what the harvest rate is, 12 to 16 or 17 to 21%, that just based on things like snow cover and access and those kinds of things, there's just natural variability in cougar harvest. The table below that is just highlights the 14 of the 49 hunt areas where the amendment occurred that increased the harvest guideline from 12 to 16 to 17 to 21%. This is about 29% of the state, and it coincides with the overlaps areas of known wolf occurrence in the state, which is also on the back of your handout. You can see the distribution of the cougar hunt areas relative to the known wolf packs in the state. In the highlights of this table, I'm not going to walk through every row here, but the highlights of this table that we've discussed before is that there are cases where even at a 12 to 16% harvest rate where we routinely don't reach that harvest rate just because of, again, differences on the landscape, snow cover, access, those kinds of things, that increasing to a 17 to 21% harvest rate maybe a moot point because we're not even reaching the 12% harvest rate. So we have examples like that. We also have examples where even at a 12 to 16% harvest rate, that by January 1, when we start the process for closing hunt areas that reach that level, there are some hunt areas that routinely exceed that. And increasing the harvest rate to 17 to 21%, again, may have a moot point because we're already exceeding, we're already in that range anyways. And then there are some hunt areas that that through the course of the second half of the cougar season, January through end of March, where we close areas as they reach the harvest guideline as designed. And so it's not necessarily a red light, green light. This is meant over time, over a number of years, that we're able to just monitor harvest and curb harvest in those areas that that may routinely exceed the harvest guideline. But it's not necessarily a situation where an area is slightly above or slightly below, it causes any reason for alarm. And so the point of this is just to demonstrate that going to a 17 to 21% harvest rate will still have that same sort of variability. It may not actually result in a harvest that's dramatically higher because we already have areas that go over the harvest guideline. And so given that, you know, we're thinking that you know, it's, if you just think about the harvest guideline, the difference is numerically there between on the table between 64 and 85 under a 12 to 16% to a 90 to 110. We're talking about a range of 25 or 26 animals is the difference. When you incorporate all the things that I just talked about some areas that are well under and some areas that are over, you know, a crude estimate is that, you know, you can maybe expect that harvest may increase by 15 to 30 animals, just depending on the variability that's out there. So in conclusion, our recommendation to the commission is that you deny the petition. That's based on the information that I just described, and that we don't believe that a single year will result in changes to cougar stability or immediate changes to the age structure of cougars on the landscape. It may over time, but not in a single year. And then with that recommendation for denying the petition for those reasons, we would come back to you in March and April with a proposal for the 2016 and 2017 hunting seasons. That's all I have if you have any questions.
Commissioner Carpenter, this is Commissioner Thorburn.
Commissioner Thorburn, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I need to disclose to the commission that I'm a member of two of the petitioning organizations. The Lands Council and Conservation Northwest. So I'm putting that before you so that you can make a decision about my ability to participate in the decision here. I've received really no information from either organization about the petition, or as a member, I haven't seen anything in membership materials about this, but I do want to disclose that. And then I Donnie, I really appreciate your reviewing this for us again. I am struggling with one area of the petition that, I mean, a rule, I appreciate that you know, the practical experience gives us a range that you've, in terms of the potential increase of 15 to 30. However, I did some arithmetic, and, you know, it's probably arithmetic that's been done by the petitioners, and it's what's kind of in black and white in the rule. So what I looked at was if in all of these areas, under the 12 to 16% previous harvest, the maximum number of cougars was harvested, that would be a total of 85 animals. Now, if you then take the difference between that maximum number and the maximum number that could be harvested under a 17 to 21% harvest. That would be an increase of 46 animals harvested. And so that's greater than a 50% increase in harvest. And what concerns me, I mean, that's kind of black and white in the rule. I understand that the practical aspects, the experience aspects say that that's not going to happen, but the rule says that it could. And it concerns me with the argument of the petitioners that we've made a substantial change to the published and public discussed rule. I'm struggling with that. I really want to support the recommended motion, but I am struggling with the fact that, you know, the rule could be read as a substantial change without public input.
Commissioner Colburn, this is Nate Pamplin, Assistant Director with the Wildlife Program. I'd like to address a couple of those concerns. The first is if you would take a look at the table that was attached to the green sheet, where we show the 14 cougar hunt areas and the anticipated guideline between 12 and 16% and 17 to 21%. Under a 12 to 16%, we're looking at the potential removal of 64 to 85 cougars.
Yes.
And 17 to 21%, a range from 90 to 110. And so the increase just on the max of 16 to a max of 21% would be 25 cougars.
Oh, okay.
And so okay. I understand you thought there was a math error there, but I don't believe that there is.
Okay.
The second item has to do with the concern raised about the variance between the proposed rule and a final rule. And if you take a look at RCW 34.05.340 under the rulemaking authorities, there's a few factors that we need to consider when determining whether an adopted rule is substantially different from a proposed rule. And the first factor is the extent to which a reasonable person affected by the adopted rule would have understood that the published proposed rule would affect his or her interest. And here that criteria is were folks that would be interested in cougar harvest and cougar management aware that the cougar seasons were on the table for the three-year package. And as Donnie indicated, through the filing of the 101 in December of 2014, the 102 in late January of 2015, the news releases, the public hearing in Moses Lake, all the public comment, and then the open public comment in April, there was a lot of opportunity for the public to be aware that the cougar hunting seasons were before the commission. The second item is the extent to which the subject of the adopted rule or the issues determined in it are substantially different from the subject or issues involved. So again, okay. Here we're talking about cougar hunting and cougar hunting seasons and the harvest guideline. And so the difference of the harvest guideline from 12 to 16 to 17 to 21% of the species cougar, we're well within your all's authority to make modest adjustments to guidelines and bag limits, season lengths, et cetera. And the third is the extent to which the effects of the adopted rule differ from the effects of the published proposed rule. And I would just point back to Donnie's review of the analysis, both in terms of the biological effects, which we would not be able to detect over a long term. We might see a change of age structure of the cougar population. Don't anticipate a population impact whatsoever, as well as amendment is so slight, and the issue that we're dealing with is a guideline. It's not a quota. And so for a variety of reasons, we might not achieve the 17% to 21% at all. In some cases, we might achieve it before the guideline even goes into effect.
Thank you.
This is Donnie. One other point. One other point that I was just going to make sure that folks were aware of, and that is that it's on your green sheet there, and that is of these 14 hunt areas with the 17% to 21% harvest guideline, nine of those, the upper end of the 16% and the lower end, the 17%, those numerically actually overlap. And so in nine of those, an example would be in GMU 113, where the harvest guideline changed from 4 to 6 to 6 to 8. And that's just because of rounding error that in the 16% rounded up to 6, 17% rounded down to 6. So there's some overlap in nine of these 14 hunt areas where the department has the flexibility to kind of look at that harvest information and land at a place that's very similar to what was the 12 to 16% harvest range. And so just want to make sure that commissioners are aware of that as well.
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Commissioner Keeney.
Commissioner Keeney.
Yeah, I have like Commissioner Thornburg, I have a disclosure. I work for one of the organizations that is on this petition. Like the rest of you, I received information on this at the same time you all did. I had no involvement in this petition in any way, and I feel I can look at this information unbiased and without any conflict of interest. I do have some things I'd like to address, and then I do have a question for Donnie at the end of that. But in my mind, as I read this petition, the three things that you've mentioned before, you know, popped into my head as to their major points. And I'd like to address the first one of you know, population and effects on dynamics of territories and whatnot. I in no way believe that harvesting 20 or 25 or 30 even more cougars this season is going to have any drastic effect or any major population effect on cougars. So that's not my issue at all. I understand this opens some opportunities for more hunting, and I understand that and support that as well. What bothers me somewhat, though, is that the tie to the research that is not necessarily causative, you know, more correlative, that this could affect populations, or excuse me, that could affect territories and how cougars interact with people, and that still tends to bother me a little bit. I mean, right back to what we said as an agency, that even today, direct cause and effect relationships do not exist. However, some have gone further in their research, showing that increase in cougar reports and livestock depredations can occur the following year. So, yes, there's not exact science to this, but there's definitely no science that says increasing these numbers will have no effect. That still bothers me, and I tend to lean towards agreeing with the petitioners on that issue. On the other issue of process, you know, and I listened carefully to what you said, Nate, all of the information and the public input leading up to the decision at the April meeting led the public to believe a certain way, that the major change coming to the cougar hunting season was going to be an extension of 1 month. There was no discussion of increase in numbers in all of that process. Whether that is substantially different from the proposed rule, I don't know. I think that's slippery slope. But whether the final rule is substantially different to the extent which a reasonable person would be affected by the adopted rule would have understood that the published rule would affect his or her interest, I think they have a strong point there in this petition. It does affect their interests, those folks that don't feel over cougar hunting is a good idea, and they didn't know that was coming at them. They did not know that, and I think that's a process that needs to be corrected in our efforts on the commission, and I think we can do that easily. But in this case, I have to tend to agree with the petitioners on that process that occurred. And the third thing that I tend to find some fault, I guess, in how we looked at this was tying it to the wolf areas, tying it to hunt areas that have wolves, when in fact that has no cause and effect whatsoever, and basically no research whatsoever. And I think, you know, it's been explained it was a social decision, and I can understand that. However, you know, if you look at some of the research, I'm looking at a study right here that finds that cougars avoid wolf territories in the Journal of Zoology. Patrick Lendrum is the key author. And they're looking at, you know, where wolves exist, typically that tends to drive cougars out of the area. Well, if we're worried about cougar interactions with people and we increase the cougar harvest, you know, the connection between wolves and cougars is still being studied. You know, it seems like a far stretch to say we're going to take out more cougars, will somehow should be tied to wolf recovery zones. Which leads me to my question for Donnie, to make sure I understand it. The 14 hunt areas included about 30 GMUs. When you look at the map you sent out, at least 13 or 14 of the GMUs do not have wolf territories in them. So the lines were drawn fairly broadly, and I can understand that if you were saying wolves are going to recover and move out from those areas. But again, making that connection to me was weak. And that's, for me, is I think the reasons that I tend to support the petition at this point. I also realize that if this petition is denied, we'll get to revisit all of this again in March and April. So not all is lost, but just based on what I see of the science, what I see of the methodology that we followed, what I see of the public input and the public chance to understand what was being done, I tend to feel the petition has reasonable merits.
Commissioner Carpenter, this is Nate. Before I turn it over to Donnie to address Commissioner Caney's question, if I could just go back to one item, and that was Commissioner Caney's concern about the public process and the change, the significance of the change that the commission made between the proposed rule and the amended adopted rule. And that is just that our view is that the changes regarding the within a species, the bag limit, the dates of the season, et cetera, those from our perspective are not substantial changes. A substantial change would be something like it would affect, we had a cougar rule and you opened a season on another species or something at that level that was a really significant departure from the rule that was put before the commission. The commission makes changes to these types of rules all the time. And so I guess I understand the controversial nature of cougars, but if you were to apply this change where we had changes to bag limits, for instance, we just had floor changes on duck seasons that the commission adopted. If we have information about a harsh winter that we pick up in an April survey and we bring that to you as a floor change, or the commissioner brings forward a concern and adopts those, any of those, I'll call them tweaks to the rule, are well within your all's authorities to do. And so I understand the concern about the species and carnivores are being a polarizing issue, but I'd also
that are pieced together. So if you think about examples there in the Okanagan, where GMU 231 and 218 are a single hunt area, So yes, GMU 218 doesn't overlap with the known wolf pack, but I mean, the unit is the cougar hunt area. Same is true in the Blue Mountains, where GMU 149, in this case, it's both a part of a cougar hunt area that includes overlap with the known Tucannon, but also overlap of the Oregon packs that also extend over into that portion of Washington. So each GMU either has overlap with a wolf distribution, or is a part of the hunt area, the cougar hunt area that overlaps that known wolf pack. Hope that answers the question.
Yeah, thank you, Donnie. It does. I guess maybe I'm visualizing ahead to the future, 5 or 8 years, and thinking about someday we'll be discussing wolf hunt areas, and realizing that, you know, about half of these GMUs could have been cut out of this expansion, yet that would have been difficult with how the hunt areas for cougars are set up. Maybe what we'll need to do in the future is really, I mean, if we're going to fine-tune this down into a way that, for instance, wolf management becomes very realistic and is done without detriment to wolf, good-behaving wolf packs, all that type of thing, we might have to get down to the GMU level in management. So this, to me, felt just like too big of a broad stroke. Well, first off, tying it to wolves whatsoever felt like not backed up by science, and it was more social. I understand that. But then once if we did do it tied to wolves, it seems like it should have been a finer scalpel-like activity. So I appreciate your explanation.
Commissioner Smith.
This is Commissioner. Yeah, go ahead, Commissioner Smith.
I really appreciate Commissioner Keeney's comments. What he has raised, I'm not going to go over again, but those have been some of the concerns that I've had as well, and I just wanted to let that be known. And I appreciate, Nate and Donnie, your responses to those concerns. That's it.
Any other comments?
Mr. Vice Chair.
Commissioner Wecker.
I have to say, too, that I thought Commissioner Keeney's and Commissioner Thorburn's, as well as Commissioner Smith's appreciation for the concerns that have been raised by the petitioners very clearly and well understood. So I'm glad we can have this kind of very rational conversation and dialogue about issues that are passionately felt by our different communities in our state, our different stakeholders. And I think we've been fairly upfront in our decision making that this has been largely a discussion of social preferences, social aspects, social dimensions, not a decision that is going to lead to a significant impact, certainly within the first year. To a proposed rule, and therefore requires more public process. I do not see that what we did was of that nature, making a significant change. I saw it as a tweak. And now something more is at stake, too, which is the Commission's ability to make tweaks to seasons, bag limits. That's a very significant authority that the Commission, in my view, must retain in order to make rulemaking efficient and avoid kind of having to go back and forth, as we see the need to make small adjustments. So another point that I have to say that I think is important to consider here is that the public has already been notified. We've already published our pamphlet. So I think to try to make changes at this point in time to our next or upcoming season would create disorder, and that's not a small factor here, too. So I appreciate what we're trying to do here, which is address the petition. One of the things that we must do in addressing any petition is talk about the alternatives. Given the public dismay that we have heard over this decision we've made, I think we were on the right track to revisit it in 1 year. Give ourselves enough time to look at the science. I do believe that the science needs to be looked at in more detail. And as Donnie and Nate have explained to us very well, there's uncertainties. There's certain aspects of it that are more solidly defensible than others. So I like the staff proposal to reject the petition, but revisit, as we've already decided, revisit the decision in 1 year.
Commissioner Carpenter, this is Commissioner Thorburn. I'd like to make another observation, please.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you. So this is sort of a new commission member observation. As Commissioner Wecker has emphasized, this was presented and decided as a social decision, which is well within the purview of the commission. The lesson that I'm carrying away as a new commission member is this social decision has created some conflict among some of our stakeholders. And it's at a time when we're really, as a commission and as an agency, trying to minimize conflict and build consensus. A good example is the Wolf Advisory Group. So the lesson that I'm carrying away as a new commission member is that when I evaluate proposed social decisions in the future, the thing that I'm going to evaluate or try to understand is this going to create greater conflict or is it going to... support the proposed motion. For that reason, I think that we need to stay the course that we have currently set so that we can begin to reinitiate the consensus building that we're working on. And I just think if we were to change the course, as Commissioner Wecker said, it would just sustain the conflict that this decision has created.
Thank you, Commissioner Starbird. This is Commissioner
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Keeney.
Go ahead, Mr. Keeney.
I won't be long. I just wanted to emphasize I really appreciate the discussion. I appreciate Miranda's position, and I really appreciate Commissioner Thornburg's position, especially as a new commissioner. And I really believe that if this discussion had occurred in April when the quota increase was being considered by the full commission, I don't even know if there, you know, there's a, I would guess there wouldn't have been a petition. I think that's probably the biggest foul that I see in my mind that people are worried about from that side. I do appreciate, Kim, your thoughts on this, and yet I feel I'm not looking at it so much as which social direction this will take us as, you know, what to me are the basis of the petition and is it accurate or not in my consideration of a vote. But I really do appreciate the discussion. I think that's what the public needs is good, open discussion about all these issues and being careful in the direction we take.
Well said. Do we have any other discussion? Do we have a commissioner ready to make a motion?
This is Commissioner Thorburn. I'll make the motion.
Commissioner Thorburn.
I move to deny the June 30th, 2015 petition that the Commission initiate rulemaking to amend WAC 232-28-297 to reduce cougar harvest guidelines in 14 hunt areas of the state from 17% to 21% to 12% to 16%. And do you want the second portion of the motion?
Please.
Well, I move to once again direct the department to provide a recommendation for the 2016 and 2017 cougar hunting seasons at the March-April 2016 commission meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Thorburn. Do we have a second?
I second.
Mr. Wecker, second. Any comments?
Sorry. Commissioner Carpenter, I did put before the commission that I made the motion, that I did have a potential conflict. Is the commission okay with my voting on this?
Bill Freymeyer, do you see any issues with that?
Commissioner, Mr. Vice Chair, this is Bill Freymeyer. We did look at it a little bit, and we don't think there are issues at this time.
Chair Smith, are you okay with that as well?
Yes, I'm fine with that. Thank you.
Anyone else have any comments to Commissioner Thorburn?
Thank you for raising that, though, Kim. I appreciate that.
I think we're good to go. Do we have
any? I feel I have no conflict as well, and I just ask Bill to confirm that he feels the same.
Yeah, this is Bill Freymeyer. We talked about it and looked at it, and like I said, we don't have an issue.
Okay, if we have no other additional discussion, we have a motion, we have a second. We're going to vote on it. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
Nay, Commissioner Caney.
Okay. The motion passes. Thank you all.